And I've been saying from the beginning, if you really have studied this for 20 years or 50 years, there is a process of governments and international organizations infringing on our inalienable rights and freedoms, including things like freedom of speech, bodily integrity, and freedom to travel. It's almost like we're living in the Truman Show for the last 20, 30 years. And that a lot of the people maybe have a lot of faith in politicians, the media, the education and the university system, and the agents of authority and the state and the healthcare system. So that just that these people are actually believe what is been told to them. So essentially we have manipulation and untruths and lies and potentially criminal, unlawful and unethical behavior going on wholesale. And the very minute that you stop worrying, which is really a waste of energy, and you stop being fearful, you then become empowered. And then no matter what anyone tries to force you to do, you actually get the courage to say no.
If you have not been looking at C60 as a means to significantly improve your health and your immunities, you should be. Here's why. First, a strong and healthy immune system is your body's first defense. And for those with a strong immune system, your body will adequately fight illnesses without medical intervention. Second, C60 is safe. As long as you're taking a high quality C60 with no added fillers or solvents. Third, C60 is the best means of removing free radicals from your body that exist. It's at least 200 times better at this function than vitamin C and any other antioxidant. This is the magic. When you free up your body's resources from fighting free radicals, they then can focus their attention on healing. Every person has different needs, but the magic begins when your body can start to heal. So now it becomes clear, you need the best free radical fighter that exists, and that is C60 with flaxseed oil and curcumin. Go to sarahwessel.com/shop and learn more about why this formula is so powerful. Also available by diffuser with ultra refined C60 oil to safely get directly into your lungs. It's also the best way to help your family pets by just being in the same room. Be sure to read the research and, of course, use the current coupons to save money when you buy. Patrons also receive a 10% discount. You can find that code at patreon.com/sarahwessel. Remember, keeping you and your family safe is the most important thing you can do. Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall. I have the fabulous Dr. Dolores Cahill coming to the program. She is really incredible. And I mean, there are points in this interview where I just was sitting there listening to her going, wow, you really are an amazing person. She is a fighter and does it with love and without fear. And I think she's great. And I think that's what we all need, is to fight with love and without fear, because fear is what's causing so many problems. And so the fact that she can just be that and display that behavior is what we need. And I think we're just really fortunate to have her and others like her. And so we're going to talk about her Freedom Airlines and other things about why she created that and other projects that she has going on. And it's just a really eye-opening conversation. Just many of you maybe already know of her and listen to her, and she's just wonderful to hear from. And if you haven't heard her before, I think it's going to be a treat for you. And then she sticks around for my members, and she's going to talk about the vaccine and what she sees is going to be the problems. When are we going to see the problems from the vaccine? What are the chances we're going to see the problem? I think it's a conversation that is daunting, but something that we need to have. And it is for my members. I know she has talked about it before, but I had specific questions for her. And if you want to see that, you can sign up for Ebonyr at sarahwestell.com/subscribe, or just go right to my Ebonyr, and there's a menu right on my front page for Ebonyr, which explains what it is. It's my Patreon replacement after they took Patreon down. They don't like us talking about the truth or even talking about things that might go against their narrative, even exploring new ideas or talking about the science or having questions. You can't even question what they say, which is absurd. And why anybody still listens to them is just a question. I mean, I just don't even know how anybody can even see them as having any kind of authority anymore or valuing their authority when they won't let people question basic things. It's so obvious, and stealing an election and everything else that they're doing. But anyways, so you can go subscribe. You can also watch it on sarahwestall.tv, which you can subscribe to that as well. If you go to sarahwestall.com under subscribe, just go right to sarahwestall.tv and you can subscribe there as well. And then with Evanier, you can get the exclusives. I give you notice of all the shows that I do, but you also get over 50 ebooks now, and people are loading different free ebooks. And I'm thinking about making a private library, seeing how I can get some of the most popular books or books that we really want to read. See if I can get some kind of private library access to it. I don't know. I'm researching it. But right now we have like 50 of them for you, and people keep loading stuff. I have one member who's just amazing. His name is Joe Tittinger. I love him, and he's really helping. And then I have coupons, of course, and discounts for great products. You can get, if you miss the detox, zeolite detox, the program that I had where it was free, you just paid $5 shipping. I also have a $50 gift card. If you buy a full bottle for $79, you can get the gift card and get $50 off. You can get anything you want. They have CBD, they have greens with vitamin D, probiotics, prebiotics, and digestive enzymes. I use that every day because I need that for my body to work right and get my vitamin D. So that's something that you can get if you're a member of Evanier. But anyways, let's get into this amazing discussion and interview with Dr. Dolores Cahill. Hi, Dolores. Thank you so much for joining the program.
Thank you, Sarah. Lovely to be on.
I have been wanting to interview you ever since I saw you on the Corbett Report, and you were talking about the airlines, Freedom Airlines, that you're doing. I've seen you all over the place on the vaccines and all these things. And I just think you're a hero. I think you just have so much courage. I think we are blessed to have you. But you are taking on a mission that I think is critical that people need to do as far as creating something new that will help us get past these draconian measures. It's the Freedom Airlines. Can you explain why you went into this and at a high level what it does?
Yeah, sure. So lovely to be on, Sarah. Freedomairway.com. There are five co-founders. So myself, three from the United States, one from Canada. The official title is Freedom Airway and Freedom Travel Alliance. And we call ourselves the FAFTA Five. And what we want to do is to honor our inalienable rights and freedoms, and to say that if you park, we'll say, SARS-CoV-2, you know, and I've been saying from the beginning, if you really have studied this for 20 years or 50 years, there is a process of governments and international organizations infringing on our inalienable rights and freedoms, including things like freedom of speech, bodily integrity, and freedom to travel. And so when you're aware of that, while I'm very honored to have been working to provide information around SARS-CoV-2 and this prevention and treatment, that really we have to look at what is going on to our societies. And if you know, like I've been aware 20 years in advance, that what is happening now has been pre-planned, you know, exactly, that then you have, you know, decades to think how you can actually address it. And one of the ways of, there are many ways of addressing it, but one is to educate people about their inalienable rights of freedom of speech, travel, and bodily integrity. And then when we see these lockdowns happening and criminal and unlawful behavior happening between the airlines, the air terminals, you know, the airport police and the governments and international organizations, then the way to push back is to form a travel alliance, Freedom Travel Alliance or Freedom Airways, and then say to people that we will try and find every mechanism to allow you to fly where your inalienable rights and freedoms will be protected. So we have multiple levels. One is you can be a member and we will provide information to you. So say if you are traveling from a country to another country, we'll say from the United Kingdom to Canada, that if there are exemptions, you know, that if you are a member, that you can then get access to the exemption so that you will be able to travel specifically. We also do in the future plan to do flights.
What do you mean by?
Yeah, we're just to say we're going to do flights, yep. But initially, potentially, it would be from countries that are already open, you know, like Tanzania to Brazil. You know, we want to inform people, or if you want to go on holidays, people might actually want to go on holidays where countries that are already open.
Oh, so you'll have a membership to help people get, and I want to talk about what these exemptions are, but you'll also offer flights to countries that are open and don't impede on your rights. So what countries are open? And I want to talk about these exemptions, and I want to talk about how you're going to be doing flights, because I'm one of these that I cannot wear a mask. I just can't. And I don't see myself flying. Yeah, I don't either. I don't see myself flying ever again. I don't until I use your airline or something. Okay, so what countries have acknowledged people's human rights?
So that's a very good question. So there are some countries like Tanzania and Africa that recognize people's rights and have no issue around mass PCR testing, quarantining, the same as in Brazil, you know, and in Belarus. And it was like that in Sweden. But now Sweden are bringing in other ones. So I suppose what we have to acknowledge as well is that from week to week in different countries, it can change, you know. But the countries that are fully open, there are many countries in the world that are fully open. There are also countries, we'll say, if you're leaving a country like the United Kingdom, maybe different to going in. And we also know, we'll say, in Florida as a state in America, the governor is also saying that we can respect people's inalienable rights to travel. So, and I know a lot of people in the United States are actually moving to Florida because they respect their rights. Okay, so initially we are really a travel, you know, we want to assist people to travel. The other thing is all of us as founders have been freedom fighters for many years and involved in various movements, including that we would work with lawyers, and we have a board of aviation advisors that voluntarily help us so that we can actually see, you know, what mechanism of transportation can you actually travel without having your rights infringed. And I suppose that would be part of an area of knowledge that we are developing. And also we want to take or support people to point them towards lawyers that are helping them fight back against compulsory imprisonment, we'll say, for 2 weeks in countries, you know. So it's a combination, and then we want to prepare for the flights, right? So currently we don't have flights, but we want to actually prepare. And I am very interested potentially in Ireland in taking a precedence case to really put it up to, we'll say, the government, and I'm encouraging other people to do it, is to, you know, you can potentially injunct the government if you have standing, we'll say they're requiring you to infringe your bodily integrity by doing a PCR test or, you know, requiring a vaccine, that you could, individuals could take injunctions to the government. Inflation is based on the testing being for SARS-CoV-2. So you could just require the government to have, for example, the PCR test sequenced. And I am honored to be leading in the world a PCR consortium that we will systematically and forensically sequence the PCR tests and see, are they actually SARS-CoV-2 or are they influenza virus, adenovirus, human DNA, some artifact of the buffers for the PCR testing.
Yeah, how much BS is involved? I mean, we already know there's BS with the 40 cycles and stuff, but how much more BS is there to this testing, right? So I'm excited that you could be doing airline and actually becoming an airline that is flying all over. Or are you also trying to get an airline to work with you and be your base of this? Because I think a lot of these airlines are getting so much pressure that if they don't comply, that they'll be shut down. I mean, it is like the thugs have come out of the woodwork and are, I mean, it is incredible what you, it's like we're back in the medieval times, you know, Middle Ages, and the way that these people are acting.
That's, I suppose what I would be saying is that a lot of the people that are acting the way they are may not be aware that it's almost like we're living in the Truman Show for the last 20, 30 years. And that a lot of the people maybe have a lot of faith in politicians, the media, the education and the university system and the agents of authority and the state and the healthcare system. So that just that these people are actually believe what is been told to them. And therefore, because we know what's going on is kind of abusing really hundreds of years of psychology and human nature. So they are instilling fear, because if you instill fear through propaganda, through manipulation, you know, neuro-linguistic programming, undermining free speech, not allowing an in-depth discussion, censoring people on both the state media organizations in the newspapers and online, okay, and using quite manipulative, you know, neuro-linguistic programming and repetitive behaviors to instill fear, deny people the truth, and then also say to them, if you do certain behaviors which actually cause them ill health, but have no benefit at all in relation to the problem, and also they think they're protecting their loved ones and the elderly by infringing on their and other people's inalienable rights and freedoms. So essentially we have manipulation and untruths and lies and potentially criminal, unlawful and unethical behavior going on wholesale. And we as people who pay taxes are paying our taxes to have people lie, and not just, you know, the things that have been implemented in our societies are causing huge harm and psychological harm, suicide and societal and economic harm and potentially harm to health and potentially infertility and multi-generational harm as regards the potential impact to society and to jobs and family-run businesses. So what I'm saying is I think we need to be generous and to realize that we have to actually open our hearts and to love the people that may be engaged in this, requiring people masks, whether they're police, whatever, and realize they are being manipulated, and that we need to counteract the manipulation, right? And it's not always going to work by just giving them facts and figures.
It doesn't work.
There are ways. It doesn't work, but there are ways you can do it, which is by asking questions, you know, and also humor and debate.
Well, because, you know, I had Dr. Kaufman on as well, Andy Kaufman.
I admire greatly.
He's really great. And we talked about, you know, his background is really he's a doctor of psychiatry, and he has his, you are a doctor of virology, right? What is your doctorate in?
No, my PhD is in cancer research, actually, and in molecular biology.
Okay.
And in targeting treatments to tumors. So kind of very, all of my life is just really common sense. So I was trying to target better drugs and toxins like ricin to recombinant antibodies to try and reduce tumors and metastasis.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he has
biology, cancer research. Yeah.
Okay. And his background is he has a biology degree as well, actually from MIT. But we talked about why, because this has really been bothering me and the children, and the fact that people are doing things against what's good for people, against what is hurting their loved ones. They are being manipulated into behaviors that are hurting themselves and their children. And why would a mother ever do anything that would hurt their child? And you know, we are talking about that because there's so many facts, and how can they not see the facts? You know, and it just drives me nuts. But he was saying it's because it's like cult. They can't hear it. They can't see it. It's their soul manipulated. And I think you nailed it on the head, where they've been using these techniques that they've been learning for 100 years on how to manipulate people to the point where it's their what do you call it? Their construct. It's the MK Ultra stuff, actually. I had another MK Ultra person. It's so much more powerful because it's part of their construct. But how do you deprogram that in a way so they stop hurting themselves and society? You gave some options.
Yeah, so I think that's
go ahead.
Really good question. Yeah, and of course there are methods to help. You know. And I suppose what we have to say is as well that they believe that they are right, you know. So instead of us kind of, you know, even in our terminology, thinking that they are believing their things because they are of lower intelligence or it's a cult or whatever, it is that in their world, right, they only really hear for 100% of the time or 99.9% of the time an entirely consistent message. So the way to talk to them, you know, and that they actually feel, and a lot of the world that they do, everyone in their family thinks the same. And they think, as all our families do, if they wear a mask, they are actually protecting their children. And they don't see it as harming. And they don't see when they wear a mask and they wear whatever the visors and the gloves, they actually think they are. So what we need to do, first of all, is actually, and this is a little bit, you know, there's multiple things, but one is, like you're doing, is to set up media channels. And actually, all of us that are trying to have a different view, we need to work together and have a 24-hour news channel in the world where we are 1 in 10% of the global population, or 1 in 3, that we actually make it easier for people to fund media channels around the world. So a bit like us launching Freedom Airway, right? We are trying to just be an initiator to say, okay, the lockdown and this whole globalization, you know, magic trick only works if people are confined to their homes, they never hear the message, and they can't actually travel, they can't, you know, they are coerced into vaccinations and testing in order to do things, right? So the real solutions are to get a media channel, you know, around the world, and that's partly what the World Freedom Alliance is doing, is to connect people. To actually have a good hard look at the election mechanisms, right? And it's happening around the world. And in World Freedom Alliance, we have a pillar for supporting people, whether they're independents or parties that stand for election. And I would be saying for everybody listening here, you know, none of us thought this is what we would be doing with our lives. But everybody listening, I would challenge everybody to just stand for election in their local elections. You know, it could be in your village, it could be on your little city council. And then even if you don't agree with everyone, like my party is called Freedom Party, right? That to try and educate people that the pillars that a free and a happy society, actually a fruitful society, is based on free speech and, you know, freedom of travel, bodily integrity. So that to build freedom movements, right? There are freedom parties in Denmark and the Freedom Party in Switzerland, all around the world, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, is to actually stand for election. And what's very interesting is that all of the political parties around the world, whether it's the Conservatives or Labour, you know, the the Democrats and in different countries, is actually, they actually have no support anymore from their electoral base because people are extremely unhappy. And so it's like a hollow shell. And so part of this globalization agenda has been going on for 50 years. It's really been implemented in lockstep for 20 years. And the way for us to undermine is actually things that might take us, you know, 2 to 5 to 10 years, but standing for election and setting up a media infrastructure in our countries and all of us voting with our feet to not look for things on globalist channels and actually move. And then those electoral platforms and media platforms will work together to actually open up the issues. And then we learn that you ask questions, you have a debate where you have someone who is the exact opposite to us, you give them half the time, and then you engage in a respectful manner in asking questions and presenting it in a questions and answers and a kind format, as opposed to an antagonistic us versus them format. And that is the way to do it.
Well, because then nobody would want to do it. You know, they wouldn't want to get in and look stupid. So, and I do know that a lot of mainstream people are still afraid to be on an independent channel. They believe that if they're on an independent channel, that it'll somehow, it's like being in the popular class in high school, right? You can't hang out with somebody who's not viewed a certain way. I mean, that's how it feels to me. Like I'm like somehow in the, I'm one of the band kids and they can't quite be on my show. And so I'm trying to break that wall down and be viewed as, no, I'm a professional. And all I'm trying to do is come to the truth. There's nothing that should be scary. I just try to share with my audience truth. And I want to hear your perspective on it. And I've really been working hard to get them, but there's such a wall there. And so if you can break that wall down, that would be amazing. Who else is in your group of five founders?
There are a number of founders. Yes. So there's Kevin Jenkins, who's very well known, Tara Thompson, Susan Sweeten. They're the American founders. And then Susan Stanfield is in Canada and myself.
Okay.
So like many of those have been associated with, freedom movements and with humanitarian movements and fighting and taking legal cases and supporting advocacy groups for freedom of speech and defending our rights at many levels, across America and Canada for at least 10 years. So, yeah.
Well, that is excellent. Now, you
to be with them. It's great.
I'm impressed with your angle of coming at it from love, a standpoint of understanding and love and patience, because I get frustrated and I know that that's not the right way to approach it. So it's so great that you're able to have that patience with these people that have been so cruelly manipulated and, lied to. Now, you said that you've been watching this happen for 20 years. You knew it and you've watched it. Is it just the surreal thing that you're watching march down? How did you get to the conclusion 20 years ago that this is what's been going on?
I suppose there are, when you look into it, there are, multiple hundreds of sources of documents from various international, from the United Nations and from the World Economic Forum and from, various banking and the IMF and, a lot of the underpinnings. So I've been really aware of what's going on initially, I suppose, from 1995, 96, 97, because I saw how the fundamental things of like lack of research integrity in science and in medicine. And I suppose I don't, in my childhood, I would have seen how, from even been 7, 8, 9, how the whole banking industry collapsed, the Irish, rural economies yeah. and farming and how the politicians weren't solving anything. And how, within the European Union, that it was entirely misinterpreted, we'll say, the debates to go into the European Union, and it decimated the livelihoods of like farmers and fishermen and societies. And then really all of my life, the politicians have never been solving any problems, and I would be a problem solver. So, but then I suppose from when I got into science, and I did have an experience of a pharmaceutical plant in my local rural farm, as a child and as a teenager, poisoning and causing huge harm and miscarriages and calves been born, formed. And that was, we were peripherally associated with the precedence case where a farmer took on Merck Sharp and Dohme, a huge pharmaceutical company that were, he then won, having gone through multiple courts, the High Court and the Supreme Court. And we were involved in that peripherally, and it was shown, how the pharmaceutical industry, we knew that there was a huge issue from when I was like 7 or 8 for 10, 15 years, but that it wasn't addressed by the political system, by the local councils, and there was an awful lot of the community who didn't want to, exactly like now, didn't want to talk about it, as if it's an embarrassment. And I was studying the whole law situation, the police, the politicians, and my dad was supporting it, in a small way. We were small farmers, but two people from the pharmaceutical company came and offered myself and another member of my family that they would pay for our university education if my father stopped talking about it and supporting it, and that was when I was like a teenager. And of course we didn't, yeah. But of course, we were saying to them straight away, why don't you just solve the problem that's killing the animals and potentially impacting human health? And it turned out it was a minor issue that, well, you know, to solve it. And in Puerto Rico, the same pharmaceutical company years before had done the same thing and destroyed, you know, a region. And the solution would have been very simple. So it was kind of shocking. And then when I obviously went and did my PhD and my postdoc, there was a lot of issues around scientific papers and medical papers, and the tools that you use in science were being sold as a product. But when you actually looked into them, it was entirely wrong. They, you know, the assays were misrepresented. And some of these tools were used to diagnose serious diseases, you know, like autoimmune disease and cancer, and they weren't right at all. And the diagnostic tests were entirely wrong. And I would, because, you know, from my makeup, and my father was very much into honesty and integrity, that, of course, if you're going to go down that road, you can't really collude with that, you know, at all. And then when I developed technology that would be able to address it, even in my 20s, you know, it was really seen that this is not career enhancing. And so I was very honored to be involved in developing mechanisms to solve that, which is just, I've been saying for 25 years, if you get promoted in, you know, in your career or any of your publications, it shouldn't be on how many publications you have. It should be that you put whatever you do in a repository. So it could be an antibody or a protein or a library or a virus, you know, or a model. Right. Like I was involved with many others in setting up the resource center of the German Human Genome Project out of the Max Planck. Now, with many others, I don't want to overstate it, but I put all of my clones and libraries and antibodies into that repository. And for 10 years, anyone in the world, you know, the German government funded it, the people could take what I had produced. And if it was wrong, of course, they could publish papers and say what she's done is wrong. So, you know, from my 20s, all of my life, everything I've published has been available for others, and I have been involved in exposing issues around research issues and in funding agencies and in government funding mechanisms and in the EU and around the world. And of course, in many of the testing that I've done, the diagnostic assays were entirely wrong.